our guest speaker would like to give us some instructions on meditation before we begin, and then I'll introduce him more fully after we sat for a while before he gives his talk.
When we do this, you should practice anapana, mindfulness of breathing. You should focus on the nostri or upper lip. You should be attention in breath and out breath. Please focus on the touching point, nostri or upper lip. You should focus only just breath. Breath is going in, going out. You should not follow inside, outside. You should just wait and see in this area only. If you can concentrate, it is fine. If you can't concentrate, then please use counting. Breathing in, breathing out, one. Breathing in, breathing out, two. Up to 8 or 10. You can do anyway. Please focus only just breath. If you can concentrate well, it is not necessary counting. Okay.
To have to hear the Dhamma from our guest teacher, Pa Auk Sayadaw. This is his first trip to the United States, and he'll be back here for a weekend sponsored by the Sati Center later in January. Pa Auk Sayadaw has been a monk for nearly 60 years and has studied and practiced with Mahasi Sayadaw, Upandita Sayadaw, and many other teachers in Burma. His long studies of the Pali texts and his own deep practice have led him to teach both Vipassana and concentration practices to Buddhist, to Burmese and Western students in his monastery and meditation center south of Rangoon. We are fortunate to have him visit us to the States. Most of us have been taught that concentration builds naturally as Vipassana practice matures. In his teaching, Sayadaw sometimes finds it appropriate, depending on the student, to give instructions in concentration practice before teaching Vipassana. So when listening tonight, please bear in mind that Sayadaw may be speaking about two different but related practices, both of which use the breath for their own purposes. So please listen attentively as we hear the Dhamma from Pa Auk Sayadaw.
Namo dasa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhasa. Namo dasa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhasa. Namo dasa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhasa. We are very happy to have come to America. At the invitation of some devotees, when we are in America, we should like to teach you something about the system of meditation taught at the Park Meditation Forest Meditation Center. It is based upon instructions found in the Bali Buddhist text in Visuddhimagga, the path of purification. We believe that meditation taught in the Bali Buddhist text is the same as the meditation practice by the Buddha himself and taught by him to his disciples during his lifetime. Why meditate? First, we should ask ourselves, why did the Buddha teach meditation, or what is the purpose of meditation? The purpose of meditation is to attain Nibbana. Nibbana is the cessation of mentality and materiality. To reach Nibbana Therefore, we must completely destroy both wholesome mental formations or wholesome karmas rooted in greed, non-anger, and non-delusion, and unwholesome mental formations rooted in greed, anger, and delusion, all of which produce new rebirth, aging, sickness, and death. If we destroy them totally with the path knowledge, then we will have realized Nibbana. In other words, Nibbana is release and freedom from the suffering of the round of rebirth and the cessation of rebirth, aging, sickness, and death. We are all subject to the suffering of rebirth, aging, sickness, and death. And so, to free ourselves from the many forms of suffering, we need to meditate. Since we wish to be free from all suffering, we must learn how to meditate in order to attain Nibbana. What is meditation? So, what is meditation? Meditation consists of samatha and vipassana meditation, which must both be based upon moral conduct of body and speech. In other words, meditation is the development and perfection of the Noble Eightfold Path. Noble Eightfold Path is right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. Right view, the Buddha called Vipassana right view. And the path right view. Right view and right thought are together called the training of wisdom. Right speech, right action, and right livelihood are together called the training of morality. Right effort, right mindfulness, and the right concentration together are called the training of concentration. Which is samatha meditation? The Noble Eightfold Path. Now let us look a little bit more at each of the eight paths of the Noble Eightfold Path. The first path is right view, samadhi. What is right view? Right view constitutes of four kinds of knowledge. The inside knowledge of the Noble Truth of Suffering, which is the five aggregates of clinging. The inside knowledge of the Noble Truth of the Origin of Suffering, which discerns the causes for the five aggregates of clinging. In other words, it is the inside knowledge of dependent origination. Number three, the realization and knowledge of the causation of suffering, cessation of suffering, which is the cessation of the five aggregates of clinging, Nibbana. Number four, the knowledge of the noble path leading to the cessation in suffering, cessation of suffering, which is the way of practice leading to the realization of Nibbana, the Noble Eightfold Path. The second pillar of the Noble Eightfold Path is right thought. What is right thought? Right thought is the purpose. Applying thought to the object of the Noble Truth of Suffering, which is the five aggregates of clinging. Applying thought to the to the object of the noble truth of the origin of suffering, which is the causes for the five aggregates of clinging. Applying thought to the object of the noble truth of the cessation of suffering, which is Nibbana. Applying thought to the object of noble truth of the path leading to the cessation of suffering, which is the Noble Eightfold Path. Thus, right thought applies the mind to the object of the truth of suffering, the five aggregates of clinging, and right view understands it as it really is. These two Vedas work together to apply the mind to each of the four noble truths, and to understand them since they work together in this way. They are called the training of wisdom. The third Veda of the Noble Eightfold Path is right speech. Right speech is the abstaining from lying, slander, harsh speech, and useless talk. The fourth Veda of the Noble Eightfold Path is right action. Right action is to abstain from killing, from theft, and from sexual misconduct. The fifth Veda of the Noble Eightfold Path is right livelihood. Right livelihood is to abstaining a living by wrong speech or wrong action, such as killing, stealing, or lying. For lay people, it includes to abstain from the five types of wrong trade in weapon, human beings, animals for slaughter, the intoxicants and poisons. The three Vedas of right speech, right action, and right livelihood are called the training of morality. The sixth Veda of the Noble Eightfold Path is right effort. Right effort is also of four kinds. The effort to prevent the arising of unwholesome dhammas that have not yet arisen. The right effort to remove unwholesome states that have already arisen. The effort to remove the arising of wholesome states that have not yet arisen. The effort to increase wholesome states that have already arisen. In order to develop these four types of right effort, we must practice and develop the three trainings of morality, concentration, and wisdom. The seventh Veda of the Noble Eightfold Path is right mindfulness. Right mindfulness is also of four kinds. Mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of the feelings, mindfulness of consciousness, and mindfulness of dhammas. Here, dhammas are the 51 associated mental patterns, excluding feeling, or the five aggregates of clinging, or the 12 internal and external sense bases, or the 80 elements. Or the seven Vedas of enlightenment, or the four noble truths, etc. But the four types of mindfulness can in fact be reduced to just two: mindfulness of mentality and mindfulness of materiality. The eighth Veda of the Noble Eightfold Path is right concentration. Right concentration is the first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, and fourth jhana. These are called right concentration, according to the Mahasatipatthana Sutta, great Sutta on the foundations of mindfulness. In the Visuddhimagga, right concentration is explained. Father, as the four prime material jhanas, the four immaterial jhanas in excess concentration. Since people have a great accumulation of paramis, can attain nirvana by simply listening to the brief or detailed talk on the Dhamma. Most people, however, do not have much paramis and must practice the Noble Eightfold Path. It is graduate order, and it is graduate order. They are called person to be led, Niya person, and must develop the Noble Eightfold Path step by step. In the order of mentality, morality, concentration, and wisdom. After purifying their morality, they must try in concentration. And after purifying their mind, by way of concentration practice, they must train in wisdom. How you develop concentration? Here, should you develop concentration? There are body subjects of samatha meditation, and a person can develop any of these to attain concentration. Those who cannot decide which meditation subject to be developed should start with the Anapanasati mindfulness of breathing. Most people succeed in meditation by using either Anapanasati mindfulness of breathing or four elements meditation. Therefore, let us now look briefly at how to practice Anapanasati mindfulness of breathing. The development of Anapanasati mindfulness of breathing is taught by the Buddha in the Mahasati Prana Sutta. He says, Bhikkhus, here in this teaching, a bhikkhu, having gone to the forest or to the foot of a tree or to an empty place. To an empty place, sits down cross-legged and keeps his body erect and establishes mindfulness on the meditation object. Ever mindfully he breathes in and ever mindfully he breathes out. Breathing in a long breath, he knows I'm breathing in a long breath. Or breathing out a long breath, he knows I'm breathing out a long breath. Breathing in a short breath, he knows I'm breathing in a short breath. Or breathing out a short breath, he knows I'm breathing out a short breath. Experiencing the whole breath body, I will breathe in, thus he trains himself. And experiencing the whole breath body, I will breathe out, thus he trains himself. Coming the breath body, I will breathe in, thus he trains himself. And coming the breath body, I will breathe out, thus he trains himself. These instructions are taught by the Buddha in Mahasati Prana Sutta for the beginners to develop jhana, higher concentration. So how do you practice? To begin meditating, sit in a comfortable position and try to be aware of the breath as it enters and leaves the body through the nostrils. You should be able to feel it either just below the nose or somewhere around the nostrils. Do not follow the breath into the body or out of the body. because then you will not be able to perfect your concentration. Just be aware of the breath at the most obvious place. It brushes against or touches either the top of the upper lip or round the nostril. Then you will be able to develop and perfect your concentration. Do not pay attention to the individual characteristics or general characteristics or color of the nimitta, sign of concentration. The individual characteristics are the characteristics of the four elements in the breath, such as hardness, roughness, flowing, heat, supporting, pushing. The general characteristics are the impermanence, suffering, and non-self characteristics of the breath. This means do not know in of impermanent or in of suffering or in of non-self, nature, dukkha, anatta. Simply be aware of the breath, in breath, in of breath, as a concept. The concept of the breath is the object of the anapanasati. This object must concentrate on to develop concentration. As you concentrate on the concept of the breath, in this way, and if you practice this meditation in a previous life and developed some paramis, you will easily be able to concentrate on the in of breath. If not, the visuddhi magga suggests counting the breaths. You should count after the end of each breath, in of one, in of two, etc. Count up to at least five, but not more than 10. We suggest you count to 8 because that reminds you of the Noble Eightfold Path, which you are trying to develop. So, you should go as you like, up to any number between 5 and 10, and determine that during that time, you will not let your mind drift or go elsewhere, but be only calmly aware of the breath. When you go like that, you find that you are able to concentrate your mind and make it calmly aware of the only breath. After concentrating your mind like this for at least half an hour, you should proceed to the first and second stage of the meditation. Number one, breathing in a long breath. He knows I'm breathing in a long breath. Or breathing out a long breath, he knows I'm breathing out a long breath. This is first stage. Number two, breathing in a short breath. He knows I'm breathing in a short breath. Breathing out a short breath, he knows I'm breathing out a short breath. This is second stage. At this stage, you have to develop awareness of whether the in and out breaths are long or short. Long or short here do not refer to length in feet and inches, but length and time be duration. You should decide for yourself what length of time you will call long and what length of time you will call short. Be aware of the this duration of each in and out breath. You will notice that the breath is sometimes long in time and sometimes short. Just knowing this is all you have to do at this stage. Do not know in out long or in out short. Just in out in. Be aware of whether the breaths are long or short. You should know that by being just aware of the length of time, that the breath is brushes against and touches the upper lip or nostril around the nostrils as it enters and leaves the body. Sometimes the breath may be long throughout the sitting and sometimes the short, but do not purposely try to make it long or short. At this stage, the nimitta may appear. Nimitta is any sign of the breath. But if you are able to do this calmly for about 1 hour and no nimitta appears, you should move on to the third stage. Number three, third stage. Experiencing the whole breath body, I will breathe in. Thus he trains himself. Experiencing the whole breath body, I will breathe out. Thus he trains himself. This is the third stage. Here the Buddha is instructing you to have aware of the whole breath from the beginning to the end. In this stage, you should combine three together. When your breath is long, other than you should try to know the whole long breath. When your breath is short, you should try to know the whole short breath. As you do this, the nimitta may not appear. Immediately you should not, if nimitta is come, then immediately you should not shift your mind to nimitta, but stay with the breath. Because for beginners, when nimitta appear, nimitta is usually not stable. If you shift your mind to the nimitta, then very soon nimitta may disappear. Because of this reason, you should just concentrate on the natural breath only. When your concentration becomes stable, nimitta also will become stable. When you are trying in this way, when your concentration improves, usually your breath becomes subtle. If you are calmly aware of the breath from beginning to the end for about an hour, and no nimitta appears, you should move on to the fourth stage. Fourth stage is, calming the breath body, I shall breathe in, thus he trains himself. And calming the breath body, I will breathe out, thus he trains himself. This is the fourth stage. To do this, you should decide to make the breath calm and go on being continuously aware of the breath from the beginning to the end. You should do nothing elsewhere. Otherwise, your concentration will break and fall away. Now you can combine four stages together. When your breath becomes subtle, you should try to know the whole long subtle breath. When your breath becomes short, then you should try to know the whole short subtle breath. But if your breath is not become subtle, then Visuddhimagga suggests four paddhas of making the breath come. Number one, connection. Number two, reaction. Number three, attention. Number four, reviewing. Reaction means you should pay initial attention to the breath. You apprehend the breath. You advert the mind towards the breath object, to the effect, I will try to make the breath come. Number two, reaction means you continue to do so. That means you pay sustained attention to the breath that way, do it again and again. Keep the breath in the mind to the effect, I will try to make the breath come. This is when you are sitting only. When you are paying attention on the breath object, it is not necessary to decide in this way frequently. Number three, attention. Literally, deciding to make the breath come. Attention is the mental pattern that makes the mind advert towards the object. Attention makes the mind conscious of the breath and know the breath calmly. Number four, reviewing. Reviewing means you review the breath, make it clear to the mind to the effect. I will try to make the breath come. So all you need to do at this stage is to decide to calm the breath and to be continuously aware of it. That way you will be able to find the breath becomes calmer and calmer. And then when your concentration improves, the nimitta may appear. Just before the nimitta appear, a lot of yogis encounter difficulties. Mostly they find that the breath becomes very subtle and unclear. They may think the breath is stopped. The breath has stopped completely. If this happens, you should keep your awareness where you last noticed the breath and wait for the breath there. A dead person, a fetus in the womb, a drowned person, an unconscious person, a person in the fourth jhana, a person in the attainment of cessation, and a Brahma, only these seven types of person do not breathe. Reflect on the fact that you are not none of them, that you are in reality breathing, and that it is just your mindfulness which is not strong enough for you to be aware of the breath. When it is subtle, you should not make the breath more obvious, as the effort will cause agitation and your concentration will not develop. Just be aware of the breath as it is, and if it is not clear, simply wait for it where you last noticed it. You will find that as you apply your mindfulness and wisdom, in this way the breath will reappear. The nimitta. The nimitta of anapanasati varies according to the individual. To some, the nimitta is pure and fine like cotton wool, or draw of cotton, or moving air, or a draw, a bright light, like the morning star, Venus. There may be also some colors, red color or maybe yellow color, etc., depending on their difference of perception. In most cases, a pure white nimitta like cotton wool is the agaha nimitta, learning sign. And the agaha nimitta is usually dull and opaque. When the nimitta becomes bright like the morning star, brilliant and clear, it is the Patibhaga Nimitta counterpart sign. When like a drill, ruby or gem, it is the Oga Nimitta taking up sign or learning sign. But when bright and sparkling, it is called Patibhaga Nimitta counterpart sign. The other images should be also understood in the same way too. So, even though anapanasati is a single meditation of subject, it produces various types of nimitta. The nimitta appears differently to different people. The Visuddhimagga explains that This is because the nimitta is produced by perception. And the commentary to the Visuddhimagga explains that it is the different perception which the different yogis had before the nimitta rose. Thus, the nimittas are different because of perception, but perception does not arise alone. It arises always together with other mental formations, associated mental formations. So, for example, if a yogi concentrates on the anapana nimitta with a happy mind, the mental formations are not only the one perception, but are the altogether 34, such as contact, volition, one-pointedness, attention, applying thought, sustained thought, decision, effort, and desire. So not only perception differs, but also all other mental formations differ. This is the fact explained elsewhere in the Visuddhimagga, and it is explanation of the attainment of the base of neither perception nor non-perception. There the Visuddhimagga explains that the perception in that jhana is very subtle, which is why call it the attainment of neither perception nor non-perception. But it is not only the perception that is very subtle. The feelings, the consciousness, the contact, and all other mental formations are also very subtle. Thus, says the Visuddhimagga, in the attainment of the neither perception nor non-perception is also, there is also neither feeling nor non-feeling, neither consciousness nor non-consciousness, neither contact nor non-contact, etc. So when the commentaries say the nimitta are different because of the perception, they are merely explaining the anapana nimitta from the single point of view of perception. In terms of perception, using perception as their example. But whatever the shape or color of your nimitta, whatever your perception of the in and out breath, it is important not to play with your nimitta. Do not let it go away and do not immediately change the it is shape or appearance. If you do, your concentration will not develop any further and your progress will stop. Your nimitta will probably disappear. So when your nimitta first appears, do not move your mind from the breath to the nimitta. If you do, you will find it disappears. If you find that the nimitta is stable, your mind by itself has become fixed on it, then just leave your mind there. If you focus your mind to come away from it, you will probably lose your concentration. If your nimitta appears far away in front of you, ignore it, as it will probably disappear. If you ignore it and simply concentrate on the natural breath, then your concentration will improve. When your concentration improves, then your nimitta also will become stable. If your nimitta appears at the place where the breath touches, the breath as the nimitta. When the nimitta and breath unify together, then please focus on the nimitta. Usually, mind automatically stick to the nimitta at that time. But you should wait and see whether the nimitta and breath unify or not. If the breath is another, nimitta is another, at that time you should not pay attention to nimitta. When you are nimitta and breath unified, become one, at that time only you should pay attention on the nimitta. But in this stage, usually when the breath and nimitta unify, mind automatically stick to the nimitta. At that time, if you pay attention, nimitta, it is very good. Your concentration will improve. Then you should determine to keep your mind calmly concentrated on the nimitta only. When your concentration improves, nimitta will become what God, nimitta will become ogaha nimitta. Oga nimitta means nimitta will become like cotton wool. When nimitta becomes white, then you should concentrate on that white nimitta. If you can concentrate 1 hour, 2 hours on that white nimitta, then nimitta will become transparent. Nimitta, transparent nimitta is called Patibhaga nimitta, counterpart sign. That transparent nimitta is clear and bright like morning, Siddha, Venus. When the nimitta becomes clear and bright, you should concentrate on the nimitta only, on that nimitta only. If you can concentrate thoroughly on that nimitta, then strong, powerful absorption may appear. But at this stage, you will reach either excess or absorption concentration. It is called excess concentration because it is close to and precedes jhana. Absorption concentration is jhana. Both types of concentration have the Patibhaga nimitta counterpart sign as their object. The only difference between them is that in excess concentration stage, the jhana fetters are not fully developed. For this reason, Bhavangas, life continuing, still Oga. And one can fall into Bhavanga, life continuing consciousness. The yogi will say that everything stopped and may even think it is Nirvana. In reality, the mind has not stopped, but the yogi is just not sufficiently skilled to discern this nimitta, as the bhavanga are very subtle. So in this case, if you can concentrate well on the nimitta, then strong and powerful absorption may appear. If you can maintain this absorption more than 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, that absorption stage is called jhana. You should maintain this concentration at least for 3 days. If you can concentrate successfully in every sitting more than 1 hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours successfully for 3 days, then at that time you can reflect your jhana fetters. How you should reflect? Please pay attention interior of your heart. You may see bhavanga, life continuing. That bhavanga is called mindo. What is bhavanga? In Gaudara Nikaya, Buddha taught Pabhasara Midam Bhikkhu Chaita. What is the meaning? Bhavanga mind state has the brilliant light. What is the meaning? Every consciousness which arises depending on heart base can produce, mind produce small particles. These small particles may be smaller than atom. We call these small particles as kalapa. In each small particle, if we analyze, there are at least 8 types of materiality. They are earth element, water element, fire element, wind element, color, odor, flavor, and nutritive essence. Among these eight types of materiality, color is very bright because of concentration, jhana concentration. Jhana concentration is always concomitant with wisdom faculty. In this case, wisdom faculty means penetrating the anapana patibhaga nimitta. When that concentration in wisdom faculty become power, they can produce numerous millions of small body gas. In each small body gas, there is color. That color can produce strong and powerful light. That color becomes bright. One kalabas color and another kalabas color, when they combine together, this is become bright. In the same way, Bhuvanga consciousness also can produce many millions of small body gas. Among these small body gas, there is also color. That color also bright. That brightness is called Bhuvanga only, as a figuratively. So if you pay attention inside your heart, you can see this Bhuvanga. When you see Bhuvanga, then at the same time, you may also able to see your anabana paribhaga nimitta. When your anabana paribhaga nimitta appear in your Bhuvanga, then you can discern five jhana pedas one by one. Apply the sustain the joy, bliss, and one-pointedness. You should discern one by one. If you can discern one by one, then please discern again five jhana pedas together. If you can discern five jhana pedas, if you can see five jhana pedas clearly, then we can say that you attain first jhana stage. Then if you want to do to continue, then you can go to second jhana, third jhana, and fourth jhana. When you reach fourth jhana stage, your breath will completely stop. Fourth jhana also can produce strong and powerful brilliant lights. Based on that light, depending on that light, if you discern four elements systematically, then you can see small body gas. If you can see small body gas, if you analyze the body gas, in each small body gas, there are also four elements. If you can discern four elements in each small body gas, this is the beginning stage of vipassana. Then you should continue to discern the remaining materialities. After discerning materiality, then you should continue to discern ultimate mentality. After discerning ultimate materiality mentality, then you should discern their causes. Ultimate mentality, materiality, and their causes are called formations. If you can discern these formations internally and externally, as well as past, present, and future, then you should comprehend these formations as nature, dukkha, or anatta. Nature is, as soon as they arise, they pass away, so they are nature. They are always oppressed by rising and falling, so they are suffering dukkha. There is no permanent self in these formations, so they are anatta, non-self. If you can comprehend in this way, this comprehension, that contemplating knowledge is called vipassana. If you practice vipassana systematically, when you are vipassana inside become mejiva, you may realize nirvana. Ultimate materiality and ultimate mentality are called the noble truth of suffering. Their causes are called the origin of suffering. Nirvana is the Noble Truth of the Cessation of Suffering. Eight Noble Path, which is associated with path knowledge, which realize Nirvana, is called the Noble Eightfold Path. So, all together, they are four Noble Truths. If you practice in this way systematically, then you may also realize four Noble Truths, and you may realize Nirvana. May you realize Nirvana as soon as possible. Okay.
Take some questions,
Monte? Yes,
yes. We have time for questions. Does anybody have some questions?
I do.
May I ask? Can one do Vipassana while they're in jhana?
It is impossible. Impossible means, for example, now you are practicing anapana. Anapana jhana's object is here, counterpart side, anapana pribhaga nimitta. If you can concentrate well on that anapana pribhaga nimitta, then anapana jhana absorption can occur. So anapana jhana's object is anapana pribhaga nimitta only. If you shift to other object, this is not jhana. Imagine from jhana, you gain desa ultimate mentality, you gain desa ultimate materiality, you gain desa their causes. This ultimate mentality, ultimate materiality in their causes are the object of vipassana. So if you want to do vipassana, then you must comprehend this ultimate mentality, ultimate materiality in their causes as nature, dukkha, anatta. So object is different. So when you are entering jhana, other than you cannot comprehend these formations as nature, dukkha, anatta. If you want to do vipassana, then you must emerge from jhana. Emerging from jhana, then you must discern ultimate mentality, materiality in their causes, and then you can comprehend them as nature, dukkha, anatta.
What are the benefits? You just described how one can use jhanas to strengthen their vipassana. What are some of the benefits of doing that?
Especially jhana concentration can produce strong, powerful light. These lights are depending on your concentration's quality. It may differ to each other. Some meditators' light is spread around maybe a little bit area only. But some meditators' concentration can produce strong, powerful lights very far away. With the assistance of that light, if you discern ultimate mentality, ultimate materiality in their causes, you can discern easily. But if there is no light, then you cannot see these small body gas. For example, now please pay attention to your body. Can you see small body gas? Can you see? No. Please pay attention to your body. Do you see particles? You cannot see. Why? There is no enough light. The light of wisdom is necessary when you are practicing samatha and vipassana. If there is no light, then you cannot see these small particles. If you cannot see these small particles, then you cannot analyze these small particles. If you cannot analyze this small body gas, then you cannot see ultimate materiality. If you cannot see ultimate materiality, you cannot practice vipassana well. Because the object of vipassana is ultimate materiality and ultimate mentality and their causes. Ultimate materiality and mentality are the noble truth of suffering, dukkha, siddha. Their causes are the origin of suffering, samudaya, siddha. These two dhammas or formations are the object of vipassana. If you have no enough light, then you cannot discern their causes. Especially The causes of materiality and mentality are past causes only, not present causes. Present causes cannot produce present five aggregates or ultimate mentality, materiality. Previous causes, especially wholesome karmas, which you had accumulated in previous life, can produce your five aggregates now. So because of this reason, you must when you are discerning this wholesome karma, if you have no enough light, that light is called the light of wisdom. If you have no enough the light of wisdom, then you cannot discern their causes, especially wholesome karma. That wholesome karma is especially based on ignorance, craving, and clinging. Ignorance means you may have accumulated some type of wholesome karma, such as donation, performing generosity. We call this is wholesome karma. When you perform generosity, you may have the desire to become man or woman in future life. According to Buddha's Abhidhamma, Buddha's teaching, if you can discern four elements meditation systematically inside your body, then you can see just only small particles. If you can analyze these small particles, you can see ultimate materiality. And then if you can discern ultimate mentality, there are only ultimate materiality and mentality. These ultimate materiality and mentality, as soon as they arise, they pass away. They are impermanent. There is no man, there is no woman according to ultimate reality. Only mentality and materiality, mind and matter only. They are impermanent. So if you know this is man or this is woman, this is delusion, ignorance. We call this is avijja. Based on ignorance, you have attachment to man life or woman's life. This is craving. Repeated craving is called clinging. Based on this ignorance, craving, clinging, and you perform generosity. This is wholesome karma. But this wholesome karma, as soon as they arise, they pass away. When they pass away, they left behind the force of karma, which can produce five aggregates in your conception stage in mother's womb, in the beginning of rebirth linking consciousness moment. So when you are discerning these causes, if you have not enough light, then you cannot penetrate these causes. You cannot see clearly. So because of this reason, Buddha taught in Sicca Sanyutta, because please develop concentration. Having attained concentration, you will see the dhammas as they really are. What dhammas they will see? They will see the noble truth of the suffering, the noble truth of the origin of suffering, the noble truth of the cessation of suffering, the noble truth of the path leading to the cessation of suffering. So if you have enough concentration, that concentration can produce strong, powerful light. With the assistance of that light of wisdom, if you try to know four noble truths, you can easily understand. So because of this reason, usually in many suttas, Buddha taught samatha yanika, samatha vehicle for vipassana meditation.